Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
John 1, verses 29 through 34. When you got it, say, got it. Good. The next day, John the Baptist, that's who we're talking about. Of course we do that on Baptism Sunday. John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man comes after me, has surpassed me, because he was before me. If you didn't know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When John 1:1 says that, the Word he's talking about is Jesus. So that's why John is like, hey, this is the one that came before me, but he's also the one that is coming after me. Amen? I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. I want you to underline that. I love that. The reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. Somebody say, remain on him. Oh, that text so good. Oh, man, I love it. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. That's a good place to say amen. One more verse in the Bible I want you to read in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. Matthew 11 verse 11. These verses go together and you'll see by the end. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's a good place to say amen. If you're taking notes on this second part of this series called Love Yours, this series on gratitude, the title is this. Get ready, write this down, because 99% of believers that take notes make it to heaven. It says it in Jedediah 5:7. If you believe that, I have more work to do than I thought, but it's okay. Just glad you're here. Taking notes, you call it this. Love your position. Love your position. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you once again. Like I always say, this is the day that you have made, God. Let's rejoice and be glad in it, God. Thank you. Because before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that was going to be here. You're not surprised by today. But God, we're thankful. We're thankful, God, for the one. The one that needs to hear this word the most. Open up hearts, minds, and ears to be receptive to a message that's always going to be about Jesus. May I lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. God, I thank you in advance for all the people that are going to get baptized today that came knowing they were going to make a public declaration. But God, I thank you for the ones, and by the time this is done, they're going to make that same confession. Pray for those that need Jesus the most. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody set. Amen. Everybody set. Take about 5 seconds to give God some praise. Why do we get baptized? Anybody know? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm going to tell you. Why do we get baptized? We get baptized because it's a symbolic gesture. I want you to understand it is a symbolic gesture. And if you've ever read Romans, Romans will tell you clearly in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. I'm not going to read them. I want you to highlight that in your Bible, and I want you to go back and read it. I'm just going to give you the short version of it. The reason that we get baptized, the reason that we submerge ourselves in water as believers is because it mimics the act that Christ did when he laid his life down here on earth. Okay, Christ had to go to a cross. He was the perfect, spotless lamb. The reason that we can even call ourselves sons and daughters of Christ, I said it before, is because we are baptized through his blood. He was a perfect spotless lamb. He was perfect. And before Jesus, there was animal sacrifice based upon the laws of Judaism. So in order for me to get cleansed before Jesus made his sacrifice, I'd have to kill a lamb or a goat or a dove. But Jesus comes and he is that perfect spotless lamb that sacrifices himself on a cross. And his blood that pours out, it pours out on all of us. And we can call ourselves sons and daughters of the Most High God because of the blood of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. So because that's true, we have to follow the same pattern because we are Christ-like, we are Christians. We have to follow the pattern in which Jesus had to go in order for us to be saved. He had to die, he had to be buried, but then he was resurrected. He died, was buried, was resurrected. When we are saying that we are getting water baptized, what's happening is we are going down in the water. This represents the death, but not the death of you, the death of sin in your life. How many know to live, you got to die? I know that sounds counterculture, but this is the paradox of the gospel. And when we go down, we are saying that I am dying to my old self. I'm not going to be who I used to be. As a matter of fact, because I don't want to be who I used to be, I don't want to just die. I need you to bury this thing. So we go down. We're fully submerged in the water. And when we're fully submerged in the water, it represents the burial. Now, some dope things happened when Jesus Christ was buried. For our Bible tells us that he went down into the depths of hell. And he made a public spectacle of the devil taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So no longer could death have any hold on us. So we get buried momentarily, which is why we take that moment underwater. But how many of you know that death has no hold on you? Death doesn't have a hold on you. So we reemerge out of the water and it represents his resurrection. Because how many of you know that Jesus did not stay down in hell and continue to do battle after he made a fool out of the devil? He resurrected again. We don't serve a savior that is dead. He is alive. And we are alive in him. So when we submerge and we come out, we are saying that my old life has died. I have buried it, and I am walking alive in Jesus Christ, and his spirit lives in me. So this is what Romans tells us, if you ever wanted a context for why we get water baptized. And I love talking about water baptism because the first time we really start hearing about it, there's a character that gets introduced along with it, and his name is John the Baptist. I love John the Baptist. He's one of those people in the Bible. The only reason we know him is because of his position. Like every time we hear about John, we hear about what he does. How many of y'all know you? How many people know you based upon your position? You're Dr. So-and-so, or you're a teacher, or people know me because I'm a pastor. Right? A lot of us get known by our position. This was John. Now, here's the interesting thing. John was baptizing people. And I just explained to you why we get water baptized. Let me ask you something. When John was baptizing people, had Jesus died on the cross yet? Has he resurrected? So why was he baptizing people? Have you ever had that question before? Inquiring minds want to know. Why was John baptizing people in water, and the reason that we actually get baptized had not been fulfilled yet? What was going on there? I'll read a scripture, and it's going to give us some context as to what was happening. If you go to Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, we read this scripture, and it tells us about Paul on his missionary journey. He ran into 12 men that had actually been baptized by John. And look at the conversation. Look at what happens. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he had found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So let me stop right there. At this time in history, the faith or the way, because Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the light. That's what they called Christianity back then. It was so new, people were still hearing about aspects of it. So stuff that we take for granted because we have the Bible that actually gives us all the information, they were still trying to figure out. Paul was like, y'all got baptized in the Holy Spirit? He's like, Holy Spirit, what's that? We didn't hear about that yet. That's exactly what is going on in this passage. So verse 3. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? And here's their response. John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these men are going about their Christian walk, their faith-filled walk, realizing that they hadn't had the baptism that Paul was talking about. And it wasn't just the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They couldn't even begin to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because they weren't even baptized in the name of Jesus. So Paul's like, where'd y'all get baptized? He's like, hey, we got John's baptism, baptism for forgiveness. Let me explain this. You have to understand that before John the Baptist ever comes on the scene, there's prophecies about him and there's prophecies about Jesus that had to be fulfilled. John the Baptist's parents were Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were both holy people. And you heard the story about Zechariah. He almost talked himself out of a miracle, so the angel shut his mouth so he wouldn't mess it up. But Elizabeth, we hear about her because we know that Elizabeth and Mary were related. And when Mary went to go see Elizabeth, Jesus was in her belly and John the Baptist was in Elizabeth's belly. And when John felt Jesus, John started to turn up in his mama's belly. He was like, hey, Jesus. They was cousins, right? It was a beautiful thing. John was the miracle child, but he was also foretold to be the forerunner, come before Jesus Christ. He was going to prepare a way in the wilderness. Why did John baptize water? One, the Spirit of God told him to. So let me stop right there. There's a lot of people with like ministry ideas and they just start stuff and nobody told them to do it. Don't just be out here doing stuff that Jesus ain't tell you to do. Let me tell you what he always tells you to do. Be a part of a church, because that's the thing that I died for. There's people out here doing all kind of stuff in the name of Jesus, but they're not taking part in the one thing that Jesus actually died for. Okay? So the Bible tells us that John, he's the forerunner, and he baptized in water, one, because the Spirit of the Lord told him to do so, but because he's also the forerunner of Christ, he literally is preparing the way for Jesus Christ's gospel to be received. Jesus could not say, he could not just, without John, Jesus can't just pop up on the scene based upon prophecy and say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man gets to the Father except through me, if the prophecy about John is not fulfilled. See, John comes in and he starts to usher in a new way for repentance. Based upon the laws of Judaism, I already told you, they were sacrificing animals in order to gain forgiveness. John comes on the scene, and yes, he is a good Jewish man. He does all the things that he is called to do, but because the Spirit tells him to baptize in water, what he's doing is introducing a new way. There is a path directly in the center of this auditorium right now. That's what John was doing. He was trailblazing a new way to get away from the animal sacrifice that they had done before for salvation and forgiveness. So he starts to show, listen, if you want something new, you got to do something different. So John shows us a new way, but yet his baptism was not the full baptism in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ had not even come on the scene. He wasn't even here yet, but John was doing this. And people revere John as a holy man, which is why Jesus' message was more palatable, because they believed that John was a man of God. They believed that whatever this dude said, He got a relationship with God that we don't got, so we got to trust this guy. So when Jesus came on the scene and he wanted to do some of the same things and extend beyond what John had done, it was easier for him to do it because John had already paved the way. But if I'm John, and this is just the way I think about the Bible when I read stuff, I start asking myself questions. John couldn't have asked himself these questions because he was John. He was living it. I have an outside perspective. And now I get to come in after this man has lived his life thousands of years ago, and I get to ask this question. Paul, he rebaptized 12 different men because they had John's baptism, not Jesus' baptism. So if I'm John, doesn't it feel like my baptism has become obsolete in comparison to Jesus' baptism? I did something, but now that Jesus has come along, what I have done is no longer relevant. We know that because of Scripture. So if I'm John, because I am petty, I feel a certain kind of way about that. I feel like the position that I am in is no longer useful because something better has come along. You ever feel like you're stuck in a position that doesn't matter? You ever feel like you're stuck in a position that does not make any sense? John's baptism didn't make any sense anymore after Jesus came. But he was known for that. That was his name, John the Baptist. There are people in this room that you are currently stuck in something right now in a position that does not make sense. And you start to ask yourself these questions. Why am I still at this job? Or why is my relationship so stagnant and so messy? Why am I still in this? Some of y'all just had your Thanksgiving dinner and you was with your family that you only see once a year. You probably asked yourself this question while you were sitting at the table. God, why did you put me in this family? Why am I in this position? You see, if you don't have a heart of gratitude, you will always begin to ask yourself why you are where you are. Even if your position may seem like it's becoming obsolete, you have to believe that God has you there for a reason. Why are you where you are? How do you love your position? I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I know somebody walked in this place and they don't have really good feelings about where they're at right now. And I hope that by the time this is all said and done, you can have a better love for your position. How do you love your position? I think you should do what John did. First, you got to know why you are where you are. You got to know your why. Why are you where God has placed you? Look at what John 1:3 says. It says, I myself did not know him. This is John talking. But listen to this. I already gave you the reason John baptized with water, but John takes it to another level. Look what he says. He says, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. You just don't know how good that is. The reason John says he baptizes water is so that he, Jesus, might be revealed to Israel. John did not personally know Jesus, even though they were both cousins. Why? Because they lived in two different places in the world. Jesus was chilling around Nazareth. John was chilling in Judea, baptizing people. So they had never actually physically met other than that one occasion where their mom's bellies collided and they started partying as little babies. But after that, there was no face-to-face meetings with them. So that's why John says, I myself did not. And they were related and they didn't even know each other. But the reason I came baptizing with water is that he might be revealed to Israel. John didn't personally know Jesus. He knew that he had to baptize people to find him. I'm not making it up. I came baptizing with water because that he might be revealed to it. So it's not just ushering in a new way. He's like, hey, the only way I'm going to be able to do what God has asked me to do is if I baptize. Because that's how he said he was going to reveal him. Sometimes God's going to call you to do things that don't make sense to anyone because he wants to use you to reveal something to everybody else. Baptism, water baptism did not even make sense in the context of the day. But he was doing it because that's how God said that he was going to find the next Messiah. You know why? Because John knew his mission was greater than his position. The position was baptizer. The mission, find Jesus. I've had a very interesting life, man. And back when I was 17 years old, I went off to college. And anybody that knows me, I am hyper-focused. When I get fixated on something, I can't stop thinking about that thing. And it can be the simplest thing, or it can be the most complicated thing. Like, it does not matter what it is. My wife laughed at me last night because I'm, like, chilling on the couch with my dog, and I'm, like, rubbing this stuff. She's like, you're obsessed with this dog. I'm like, I know. Like, when I get on something, I hyper-focus. So when I was 17, I went off to college. And do you know that when I was in college, my only mission was to graduate college? This was like, I was like, yo, I must do this. Nothing will stop me from my mission. And I took every job on the planet in order for me to get through college. Oh, I did crazy stuff. I was a telemarketer. I called your house and annoyed you. Yep. I was really good at it, too. I was selling jams and jellies for the Maryland State Troopers Association. I even put on a little accent so they could believe me when I called. It's really good. I made futons by hand. Like, I used to hand tuff futons. I used to stuff them with cotton and foam, and I used to hand tuff them. Not only did I do that, I delivered furniture. I used to carry furniture to people's houses, do deliveries all over the tri-state area, and I'll go to people's houses and assemble. I did that. Let me see. I was a mailman. I got chased by dogs. That was fun. I didn't even have a car. They called me a casual carrier, and I had a cart. And I would casually carry the mail to your house. I taught art classes to kids. I was a camp counselor. I did graphic design for a minor league baseball team. It was the Baltimore Orioles minor league team called the Aberdeen Ironbirds. I invented their first program. I'm proud of that. No one ever saw it, though. I was a TA. I was a teacher's assistant in my master's program. It was awesome. People came to me, and I had to act like I knew what I was doing, even if I didn't. I did freelance graphic design for people. I made websites for people. I was a videographer. I'd edit videos for people. I even drew pictures, and my wife can testify to this. I drew pictures in hair care products, like hair dyes and stuff. I drew the instructions on the inside. You know the little pictures that show you how to do it? I mean, I never used them, but I'm just saying, I drew the pictures on the inside of those. I did everything that I could do just to get through school. And here's the reality. I had a lot of jobs, man. Listen, my folks were on the island. I had 15 jobs, okay? Here's what it is. I lived it, okay? But here's what was awesome about it. Every job that I've ever went to, and I'm not saying it to Brett, every job I've ever had, my boss wanted me to stay. He's like, man, I know you're in college, but you ever think of a career in futons? I'm like, no. I could have been a full-time futon maker. I could have been a great telemarketer. I was working my way up the ladder. Could have been an awesome mailman. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But it wasn't my mission. So many times, we get comfortable in the temporary and we make the temporary a tradition because we've taken our eyes off the mission. There are those of us that sit in something that was supposed to be a part-time thing and it became a full-time thing because you took your eyes off of what really mattered. You got to stay focused on the mission. Just this morning, I can't make this stuff up, okay? This morning was crazy. We were trying to set up to be in this room. You know, you see there's a whole other event going on. We work with the Cultural Center. It's awesome. Just this morning, I get a text, and the text says, interesting morning already. And I'm laughing because the picture I get, my brother, he pulls our trailer. We have a trailer that we keep all our church stuff in. Well, the picture I get, his bumper's like all destroyed on the back of his truck. Not only is his bumper destroyed, our trailer hitch has snapped off of our trailer because we loaded it wrong. It's crazy. So as soon as I get here, I'm like, I'm sitting in the back, I'm studying. My brother walks in. He's my big brother. I'm still scared of him. I can't help it. I'm like, bro, I'm sorry. He's like, stop. He's like, nah, man, I'm sorry. I'm apologizing profusely. And he did not know what I was going to preach today. But you know what he said? He said, stop apologizing. It's a part of the mission. And I said, boy, you don't have any idea how the Spirit is using you today. You don't get caught up in the petty things in life. You don't get upset when you are focusing on a mission. But some of us are only focused on the position and have taken our eyes off the mission. So we get upset at every little thing that happens to us in life. Take your eyes off of where you are and put your eyes on what God has called you to do. See, I'm telling you today, and I want you to understand this, nobody's bigger than the mission. Cool Church has a mission. Build strong families to build strong futures. I'm not going to stop and be comfortable in the temporary things when I know that God has called me to something greater. The mission is to build, not just my family. Because when my family's being built, I'm trying to build your family too. And when your family's being built, I'm trying to have you find other families to build. I don't care how many we build, we just won't stop until Jesus calls us home. Because that is a mission. Don't be so focused on the temporary circumstances and issues of life that you take your eyes off of the mission. Remember why you're doing what you're doing. We constantly tell you what we're giving to so you remember why you give. We're constantly telling you what the heart of this thing is to see people meet Jesus and to build families because I want you to be excited every time you come in here because no matter what happens, no matter what room we may be in, no matter how full the parking lot was, no matter how inconvenient it might have been for you to get in here today, you're going to stay focused because you're not worried about the position. You're worried about the mission. The theater doesn't make or break the fact that we have church. If we got to get a tent and do it outside, I'm down for that too. Because we're going to do whatever we got to do to build strong families and build strong futures. Amen? So it's not just about knowing why you are where you are. Because when you're there, you got to remember what to look for while you're there. Remember what to look for while you're there. Look what John 1 says. Here we go. It says, then John gave this testimony. I love this. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remained on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down on and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. John knew what he was looking for. He knew what he was looking for. Quick story. I took my daughter and my wife. We went to Lion Country Safari. It's awesome. You sit in your car. Animals come. I kind of don't like it because animals be messing up my paint. They be like grazing their nose all up on my car. I don't like that, but it's okay. I did it for my baby. Go to Lion Country Safari. Start seeing something. Here's what makes me mad about Lion Country Safari. You go and the lions do nothing. All the other animals, they like right up on, they be like, meh, meh. I don't even know what animal that was, but they right up on your, they right up on your windshield. The lions, they sleeping every time. So anyways, go to Lion Country Safari. We seeing all kind of animals. And my baby girl's real young at the time when we took her. And she's sitting in the back seat, face pressed up against the window, seeing all animals. I'm like, Baba, look, there's a rhino. She's like, ooh, daddy, ooh, where? I'm like, look, it's right there. And then she see it. Like, Baba, there's a hippopotamus. Ooh, daddy, where? Look, it's right there. She looks, she sees it. And then it was a giraffe. But a giraffe was in the distance, right? So I said, Baba, look. Look out the window. It's a giraffe. I know she ain't never seen a giraffe in her life. I asked her, I said, one time, I was like, Baba, what noise a giraffe make? And she was like, giraffe, giraffe, giraffe. She was a little kid. She ain't know no better. Like, what noise does a giraffe make? Okay, anyways. I said, look. It's a giraffe. She's like, Daddy, look, a slide. I said, Baba, forget the slide. Giraffe. Like, we live in South Florida. Giraffes ain't just walking around, okay? Daddy, a slide. I'm like, Baba, if you tell me about this slide one more time, I'm going to feed you to this giraffe. Baba, look, giraffe. Do you know this child never saw a giraffe? You know why she couldn't see the giraffe? Because she was looking at the slide. I thought we was in church, man. I thought like, see, that was like the mic drop, and then you're supposed to be like, oh. It's not that you're in the wrong position, you're just looking for the wrong thing. We're in the same position. We was looking in the same direction, but she wasn't looking at the right thing. This is why I love John. John wasn't looking for a person. He was looking for a spirit. What's the word say? It says, and I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize water told me, the man on whom you see the spirit come down and remain. There was a lot of men that John saw. He saw a lot of people, but he knew the one that he would call Messiah will be the one that the Spirit would come down on and remain. John was not looking at a man. He was looking at a spirit, and not just any spirit, a spirit that stays. Some of y'all think y'all know the holiest people because they gave you a little verse on Instagram, and you following them to all kind of nonsense, but you don't look for the people that have always been and remained in the Spirit. You look at the ones that pop up that might not have anything spiritually deep for you to feed on, but the ones that have remained get overlooked all the time. Because we're looking for what's hot. We're not looking for what remains. Like we do this stuff all the time. Some of us are just stuck in a position because we're looking for the wrong thing. Yeah. I can't get out of where I am because you're looking for the wrong thing. You don't value your position because you are looking for the wrong thing. Like, you stuck at your job because you're looking for a promotion when you should have been looking at how to honor your employer, because honor always leads to promotion. You're looking for the wrong thing. Or maybe you're stuck in a marriage that isn't working because you were looking for a husband or a wife, but you should have been looking for a spirit-filled son or daughter of God to be equally yoked with in the beginning. You stuck around negative people because you're looking for friends in the world, but you should have been looking for a family in God's house. You stuck in the same tax bracket because you've been looking for money when you should have been looking for your God-given mission. Because when you're on your God-given mission, money follows you. Stop looking for the surface. Stop looking for the physical things and focus on the deeper spiritual things of God. Amen. Stop looking for people and start looking for the spirit within people. Yes. You'll be so blessed by your position when you start listening to God and looking for the right things. Yeah. And lastly, as the band comes up, not only should you remember why you are where you are, not only should you know what to look for while you're there, you got to testify about what God has done during that time. Testify about what God has done during that time. John was so thankful for his testimony because it helped the world see Jesus. We don't see Jesus without John. John was the forerunner. Look at what the Bible says. John 1:34. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. So I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. I love looking at, like, court TV. Y'all watch court TV? You know, Judge Judy, she be yelling at people all the time, you know. Judge Joe Brown. And when you say his name, you just got to say Joe Brown. All the judge shows, Judge Mathis. I'm like, there's no way a real courtroom is like this. Like, y'all way too animated. Anyways, when I watch those shows, you know, I always love when, like, the person comes in and they bring, like, a witness with them. Because, you know, you bring in a witness because they've been in a position to see something that nobody else saw. So they can testify for you. Everybody close your eyes real quick. Michelle, come here. Keep your eyes closed. Stand right here. Y'all keep your eyes closed. Don't cheat. Nope. Face me. All right, open your eyes. See, the thing about me and then a court of law, when you testify, your testimony is based on your position. A lot of times, it's not even about who you are. It's just about where you were when you saw the incident in question. Because they ask you, where were you on the night of? Right? So let's play a game. This is Michelle. Say hi, Michelle.
Hi.
It's kind of awkward that y'all just looking at her from behind, right? It's kind of weird. But the reason I wanted to do it is because I can see Michelle. I can look her right in her eye, and it's awesome. Now, if we're in a court of law, and I had to ask anybody in this room right now, could anybody in this room, based upon what you see about Michelle, from where you are in this room, can anybody tell me what color eyeshadow Michelle is wearing? Can you tell me? All right, let's try this one's easier. Can you tell me what color lipstick she's wearing? Nope, not true. What color are Michelle's glasses? Wrong. Let me see. What color blush is Michelle wearing right now? You're wrong. What kind of pendant is on Michelle's necklace? See, y'all super safe. It's not even a cross. You know why you can't tell me? Because you don't have the right perspective. You're in the wrong position to testify.
Come on.
Can't tell me. I can tell you. She got kind of like a burgundy lipstick on. She actually has no eyeshadow. No blush either. And I don't know what that pendant is. We're going to have to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And her glasses is like a tortoise shell. Do you know why I can tell you all that information exactly? Turn around, Michelle. Isn't she lovely? Yes, you can go now. I can tell you all those things about Michelle because I'm in the perfect position to see them. I'm in the right position to testify. All of y'all could have showed up in court, but your testimony wouldn't have mattered. Because you could not see what the judge was looking for.
That's so
good. Some of you may not like your position right now. You may hate your position. But it's exactly where you need to be to testify. You may not like the fact that every business around you is thriving and yours is not. But when your business has a breakthrough, you would have been at the perfect position to testify. Maybe all your friends are healthy.
But the last time you went to the doctor, he gave you a report that you didn't want to hear and you don't like that. But when God heals you, you're going to be at the perfect position to testify.
Maybe all of your friends' kids are superstars. They get straight A's on everything, and yours is about to not pass the FSA test or the FCAT. And you scared that Johnny might not make it to the next grade. But when Johnny gets a diploma, you would have been in the perfect position to testify.
Maybe everybody around you is blessed financially and you feel like a joke because you broke. But when God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, prospers you, you are going to be in the perfect position to testify. Maybe everybody around you is having babies, even teenagers. They just go to the backseat of cars and they pop out. And you've been trying for years. You've done everything that you can do and that baby ain't coming. And you start to like hate like people's stuff because they got a baby and you don't. But on the inside, you're like, Lord, what else I got to do? What else do I have to do? But when that miracle of a child comes, you need to know that you are in the perfect position to testify. I need somebody to really hear me and understand me today. If John had not been baptizing John the Baptist, if he was not in his position, we would have never seen Jesus. If he's not in his position, he would have been in the wrong space and his testimony would not be valid. Could you imagine if he said, nah, I ain't water baptizing people. People ain't doing that. People gonna think I'm crazy. He would have been out of position. But because he was in position, he was able to testify about Jesus in a way that nobody else could have done before. Because, see, people saw Jesus and they did not recognize him as the Messiah because they did not know what to look for. But because of John's position and because of his calling, he knew exactly, I'm not looking for a person. All I got to do is see that spirit. And when he saw that spirit remain on him, John was able to testify to the earth that has been recorded for the ages. And we all knew when Jesus came because of John's testimony. But here's the beautiful thing. John gave a testimony about Jesus that nobody ever gave before. But Jesus gave a testimony about John that nobody else on the earth ever got. Matthew 11:11 says, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. He could have said John, but he called out his position because his position allowed him to have the testimony. There's not been anyone greater than John the Baptist. John is remembered in history forever because he was in the right position. He was in the right position. But I love Jesus because Jesus never stops with one of us. He always wants to bless all of us. Says John was awesome for all the people that had been born before him. But look what the Bible says. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You have no idea how beautiful that is because that pertains to you. See? You know, John had a great testimony, but you know what he never saw? You know what he never saw? He never saw the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We live in the aftermath of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So he may have believed that Jesus was the coming Messiah because he had faith, but we already know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because of what he has done. Jesus didn't even do those things before John passed. So we are greater in the kingdom, even the least of us, because we have seen Jesus from a position that John never got to see. I want you to understand I want you to hear my heart, that where you are in proximity to a miracle will affect your testimony. Where you are, your position is, love your position, because where you are is where you need to be to testify about your miracle. Jesus walking on water affected Peter differently because he was walking on water too. If you hadn't eaten in days and you showed up to the miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000, it's going to affect you differently than somebody that had breakfast that morning. Lazarus coming back from the dead affected Mary and Martha differently because that was their brother. Jesus healing a man that had been crippled on a mat affects you differently if you're one of the men that lowered him through the roof for Jesus to heal him. Where you are is where you need to be to testify about your miracle. Because here's the truth. You got to be thankful for the position you're in. Because without your position, we may never get to see your problem's true purpose. I'll do you one better. If you don't go through it, we may never know why it was worth going through. Why you get baptized? Because when you get baptized, you are able to testify about Jesus from a position that nobody else is sitting in. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but where you are is exactly where God needs you to be. Don't look at somebody else's position and want to be where they are, because they will never understand the miracle from your shoes. Where you are is where God wants you to be. Love your position. Love your position, because God puts you there. With every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends, because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.